Today's reading is from Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he also gave it to those with him. And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come and stand here.' And he arose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?' And after looking around at them all, he said, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all." Luke gives these accounts a little bit differently than other gospel writers, and groups two instances of an encounter on the Sabbath together within this beginning of this chapter. One is them going through the grain fields. The disciples are hungry. They pluck some heads of grain, which was legal to do. They were supposed to leave the outsides of the fields for those who might be in need. And so they pluck those heads of grain and would rub them in their hands in order to get the outer part off so that they could eat a little bit of it. So again, it was legal for them to do this, even though they didn't have the field. But the question the Pharisees brought up is, why are you doing work on the Sabbath? Remember that the Pharisees tended to have really strict definitions about everything. And a lot of times we think that it was a matter of trying to create the right kind of boundaries. However, it was also because they wanted to have the right kinds of loopholes, ways around things. I don't know if that's necessarily the case with the Sabbath outside of the idea of how far from your home could you travel, but here we see them using this as an opportunity for an accusation against Jesus and his disciples. Why are you allowing them to do what is unlawful, which was supposed to be working on the Sabbath? Now, you and I might look at this and think, well, is that really work? I mean, just, you know, a few heads of grain, rubbing it in your hands before you eat it. But apparently the Pharisees thought that it was. And likewise, the second account is another instance on the Sabbath, but this one seems to be set up, that they wanted to catch him. They wanted to trap him. And so you had this man with a hand that was withered. They wanted to see whether Jesus would heal this man so that they could again accuse him of breaking the Sabbath. Now, we know, Hebrews 4 and verse 15, Jesus was without sin. So we know he didn't actually sin on these occasions. So what's the truth here? That's what we're trying to get down to. What, were they really making an accusation that held any water? Or were they doing something that God never intended? Well, based on what Jesus said, it's the latter. It's that they had defined the Sabbath in a way that God had not intended. And Jesus reveals this when he asks the question, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?" So if it came down to life or death, then what is the answer? Well, obviously, mercy is the answer. Life is the answer. And he uses David and the showbread as an example. What it comes down to is, you know, shouldn't somebody who is hungry be able to eat on the Sabbath, even if it meant pulling it off of that grain stalk and rubbing it in their hands to eat it? Somebody who's sick, shouldn't they be able to be healed on the Sabbath if someone has the ability and the power to do so? Shouldn't we have enough mercy in our hearts for this? And of course, his question about to do harm was not to go out to harm someone, but to harm would be neglectful. The person who's hungry, are you going to harm them by requiring them to go more hungry before they can eat? They'll have to wait till the next day. Will you neglect the person who's sick and not take care of them? So if I was going to rephrase it, it would be, you know, is it right to act in the name of preserving life or not? That's what it would come down to. Now, if you look over in Luke chapter 14, Jesus asks a question of them later on. Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? Jesus cuts right to the heart of the matter. If it was something that affected you personally, you would do something about it. But because you have no personal connection to his disciples or to the man who had the withered hand, you have no connection to them, so it doesn't matter to you. So then that's breaking the Sabbath. He cuts to the heart of their hypocrisy is what he's doing. The Pharisees care more about condemning everybody else for what they choose to do than they do about really what the law of Moses was saying, and certainly of the needs of others. Let's be honest and realize that all they're doing is using the Sabbath as an occasion to again reject Jesus and try to get others to reject him. They wanted to tarnish his image in the eyes of the people so that they would not follow him. Notice that nowhere in here do you see the Pharisees saying, look, if you're hungry today, if you can just hold out for a little while, I'll have you over to my house and I will fix a large dinner for you and I will satisfy your hunger. You don't see that. You just see condemning for doing what they needed to do to eat on the Sabbath. Likewise for the sick. You don't see them saying, look, I can't do anything for you today, but you come to my house and I will take care of you. I will satisfy whatever your needs are. We will take care of your needs. And, you know, if it's some other sickness besides a withered hand, you know, maybe we'll, you know, treat your fever, we'll treat your illness, whatever it might be. You don't see any of that. You just see the condemnation of Jesus and his disciples for handling those needs. Now, Jesus teaches us as Christians an important point about mercy. Do we have mercy and love toward others? If I have an opportunity to do good, am I willing to do it? Sometimes we saddle only the church with that responsibility and put it out there that, you know, well, the church is engaged in some sort of benevolence, or the church is there if they want to go and ask for help. But no, the point is that we individually have to be engaged in good. The church, yes, does some benevolent things for members of the church, but we as individuals still have a responsibility to do good unto others, whatever case it might be. And as James said, if you tell somebody to be warmed and filled, but you don't give them the food or the clothing that would satisfy that need, then that's vain and it's empty. And our Christianity should not be vain. We should truly be disciples of Jesus, caring about the needs of others. Can I satisfy all of the needs of those that might be hungry in my community or might need clothing in my community? No, I cannot. I am not blessed with the means to be able to do anything on that scale. But can I do something for someone when I have, you know, when I'm faced with an opportunity? Yes, I can. Is it possible that maybe we put our focus in the wrong areas too? You know, we think, well, the greatest need they could have would be the gospel, and so I'm only going to give them the gospel. Yes, we can do that likewise and miss out on the mercy that we could extend at a moment too. And there's other examples we could use, but the point is, we can't get so fixated on one thing that we miss out on another thing. And that can apply to any commandment of God anywhere at any time. I can get so caught up in one thing that I don't see that there's other things I should be engaged in as well. Perhaps what we could pray for today then would be to see the opportunities to do good that are around us and to have a heart of compassion that will want to do something for others, to help others in some, even in some small way. You never know how far an act of love can go for someone else. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.